This month's series is A Thing Called Love. A Thing Called Love. And tonight's message is Love the Lord Your God. Love the Lord Your God. It's Valentine's Day. How many are excited about Valentine's Day? All right. It's a season and a day of love for family, for spouses, and foremost for God. Amen?
Amen.
Tonight I want to talk to you about loving the Lord your God expressed in two different ways. Loving the Lord your God expressed in two different ways. The first is with the imagery of a throne. When you think of a throne in a nation, it's where the head of state or a monarch rules from. They sit upon the throne and they rule. It goes back to Old Testament times with Solomon's throne. So the throne is a place of power, a place of ruling. Now tonight, I want you to imagine your heart as a throne. Tonight, I want you to imagine your heart as a throne. Who is sitting and ruling from the throne of your heart? Who is sitting and ruling from the throne of your heart? That's good. You know, for some people in this world, maybe not for anybody here tonight, but for some people, their house sits on the throne of their heart. And it rules them. They worship their house. They bow down to their house. I'm a general contractor. We work on a lot of people's homes here in Tulsa. And I tell you, there's some picky homeowners out there. And we're very conscientious with the people we work with in their homes. But if you just move a piece of furniture the wrong way or trip over something, they just blow their top because they worship their home. Their home rules them. Remember this. Whatever you are investing all of your time, energy, and resources into, you are worshiping. That thing is ruling you from the throne of your heart. Let me say it again. Whatever you invest your time, energy, and resources into is what you worship. That thing is ruling from the throne of your heart. For other people, their career rules them, sits on the throne of their heart and rules them. You know, they might work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. They're concentrated on their career. They pour their time and their energy into their career, maybe for like a surgeon. And it just rules them, and they put very little time into their family. For other people, their spouse sits on the throne of their heart and rules them. And it shouldn't be. Whatever ungodly thing that spouse may require of them, they would do. That's worshiping a spouse. You're to love your spouse, but not worship your spouse. For some of you here tonight, it may be an addiction that is ruling from the throne of your hearts. I don't know what that addiction might be. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be looking at something with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Maybe you're investing your time and your energies into viewing something that you should not be viewing. Don't let that addiction rule you from the throne of your heart. Maybe for some others here tonight, self-pity may be ruling from the throne of your heart. Do you know that some people make an idol out of self-pity? Me, myself, and I can't believe that life has thrown me this kind of curve. I can't believe he said that to me. I can't believe she did that to me. And so they're wallowing in self-pity. So for some people, self-pity rules them from the throne of their heart. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's only one who should be ruling from the throne of your heart, God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen. God is the only one that should sit upon the throne of your heart and rule every part of your life. Let me ask you tonight, how much of your energies are you investing into your relationship with God? How much of your energy and resources are you putting into advancing the kingdom of God? Let me say it again. How much time are you investing into your relationship with God? How much of your energy and resources are you investing into expanding the kingdom of God? How could you invest your resources into expanding the kingdom of God? God is giving you the resource of time. You could spend your time sharing the gospel with people one-on-one here in downtown Tulsa. If you've got some money to your name, you can put some money in the offering plate for missions work. Is that making sense? Is God ruling you from the throne of your heart? Let's turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31 here tonight. Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. It's about a lawyer, a teacher of the law that came to Jesus. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord is one. This is called the Shema. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. This word "one" in Mark chapter 12, verse 29 could be translated from the original Hebrew as "first." And it could be translated this way: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is first." Is the Lord your God first in your life? Is the Lord your God first in priority in your life, in all that you say and that you do? Another way this word "one" in Mark 12:29 could be interpreted is "alone." This way: "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Is God alone the God of your life? Is Yahweh alone the God of your life? There should be no other rival to God for the throne of your heart. Let me say it again. There should be no other rival to God for the throne of your heart. God should be the only one ruling from the very center of your being. You're to be submitting your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And this is how we show our love for God. And then Jesus goes on to say to the lawyer in verse 30 of Mark chapter 12, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." What is Jesus saying to the lawyer? He's saying that we are to love God with our entire being, every single part of us. Let me ask you tonight, think about this question. Do you consult God for every decision and action, no matter how big or small? Are you in the habit of consulting God, the creator of heaven and earth, for every decision that you make, for every action that you take, no matter how big or small? If you are consulting God for every decision, every action, every word that you speak, guess what? God is ruling from the throne of your heart. Now, I want to read something that Billy Graham said. How many here know the great evangelist Billy Graham? Billy Graham, the great evangelist, he says this: "When you truly love someone, you want to please and honor them by the way you act." Let me ask you this. Do you really love God? If you really love God, you want to please God in the way that you act, in the way that you carry out your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this word "love" in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 is agape. Agape. What is agape love? Agape is an unconditional love. It's a self-sacrificing, self-denying love. Say it with me. Agape.
Agape
is a self-denying,
self-sacrificing
love. And a lot of times when we hear messages on agape love, we hear it in relation to other human beings. Are you agape-ing somebody else? But guess what? We're also to love God with that agape type of love. We also need to love God with the agape type of love, that self-sacrificing, self-denying, self-dying love. Okay, there's some circles out there, there's some churches out there that give the impression that Christianity is fun. It's fun to be a Christian. It's fun to be a Christian. You know, being a Christian is a bed of roses. It's peaches and cream. You know what, friends? The Christian walk is not always that easy. It's not a bed of roses. It's not peaches and cream. Guess what? Sometimes God will ask you to do something that is really difficult. God may ask you to do something that is really uncomfortable for you. For instance, you may be married to a difficult spouse, and you might want to give up. Maybe God is telling you, keep on with that spouse. Be patient and don't give up on that person. If you really love God, you will obey what He's telling you to do. You'll put death to self and you'll be patient with that difficult spouse. Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
That making sense? You know, God may speak to you and tell you to go to some bridge here in downtown Tulsa and bring somebody lunch or a cup of coffee. And maybe that person makes you uncomfortable. Maybe that bridge makes you uncomfortable. Maybe you really don't want to go. But if you really love God with that agape love, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to sacrifice yourself. You're going to buy that meal and bring it to that person under the bridge. You know, God doesn't always ask us to do things that are easy. God doesn't always ask us to do things that are easy. As a matter of fact, He may ask you to do some very difficult things. How much do you really agape love God? How much will you deny yourself, sacrifice yourself for obeying the difficult thing that God may be asking you to do? Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
So how do you develop your love for God, your agape love for God? By getting into the Scripture, the Word of God, on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas, but getting into God's Word every single day and reading it. You know, I call the Scripture the autobiography of God. If you're serious about developing your relationship and your love for God, you've got to be getting into His Word, because His Word tells you about His nature, and His nature is love. Another thing you're to do to develop your love for God is to be in prayer on a consistent basis. What is prayer? Prayer is communication with God. It's talking with God and having God respond back to you in the natural realm. Say you've got a friend. Think about a friend that you have. Maybe a good friend, a really good friend, or maybe a spouse. How do you develop that relationship with that other person that you really care for? By communicating with them, by speaking with them, by being in constant communication with them. And as you're in constant communication with that person, your love for that person, your care for that person is being developed. Friend, it's the same way with God. If you want to develop your relationship with God, if you want to increase your love for God and for Christ, you've got to be in consistent communication with God through prayer. Is that making sense here tonight?
Amen.
All right. So the second way, the first way we express our love for God is with the imagery of the throne that I have been talking about. Who rules from the throne of your heart? The second way we express our love for God is by how we love others. Now, back in 2006, some of you may have heard this story. Back in 2006, I was going through a very tough time in my life. A time of severe depression. It was like around August, September, October of 06. And so if some of you here tonight are depressed, I know where you're at. I've been there before. I was really depressed, didn't want to see anybody, didn't want to get up in the morning, didn't want to eat. I was really depressed. And during this time of depression in 2006, in my heart I was crying out to God. I said, God, what is the gauge, the test that I really love you? Sometimes I doubt, God, whether I really love you, whether I really love your Son, Jesus Christ. What's the gauge? What's the test, God, as to whether or not I really love you? And I believe within my spirit, it's based on Scripture, that God spoke to me and He said, the gauge for how much you love me, as to whether or not you love me, is how you love other people in your sphere of influence. The people around you. So if you really want to know how much you're loving God, ask yourself, how am I loving other people in your sphere of influence? The people that you sleep next to, the people that live next to you, the people that walk around you here on the streets of downtown Tulsa. If you really want to know how much you love God, ask yourself, how much do I love the people that God puts into my path on a daily basis? Is that making sense?
Yes.
Your neighbor. Finally, Jesus says this. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. As you love your neighbor, that's evidence that you really love God. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody who is in need of your help. You know, there may be somebody out there that hasn't had human affection for weeks. They might just need a hug. Go out there, meet that person, and hug them. Maybe there's somebody out there that's so lonely, hasn't spoken to somebody in a week or two. If God puts that person across your path, that neighbor across your path, reach out to that person with the love of God. Spend some time and talk with that person. Guess what? When you reach out to that person with the love of God, you're reaching out to God Himself. When you reach out to another person with the love of God, you are reaching out to God, to the heart of God Himself. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Verse 35. "For I was hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me in. I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison and you came to visit Me." Verse 37. Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The King will reply. Here's the key verse, Matthew 25:40. The King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of Mine, you did for Me." That person in need, your neighbor that God brings across your path, is Jesus in disguise. In the coming hours, in the coming days, in the coming weeks, God is going to bring people across your path that He's going to want you to reach out to with the love of God. That person that He brings across your path, those people He brings across your path, are Jesus in disguise. For as much as you love them, for as much as you do it to them, you're doing it to Jesus Himself. Why is it that when we touch somebody with the love of God, we're touching Jesus Himself? Why is it? Why is it? Think about it. Why is it? Because every single person on the face of this earth, every person in this room here tonight, is created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of every single person in this world. In a figurative sense, every person is flesh of God's flesh and bone of His bone. When you love somebody with the love of God, you're touching God Himself. Now, when you hurt somebody, if you speak a four-letter word to somebody who irritates you, you try to get back and retaliate to somebody who's offended you, guess what? You're hurting the heart of God as well. Why? Because that person is made in the image of God. So do you really want to know how much you love God? Start asking yourself, how much am I loving, with the love of Christ, the people around me on a daily basis? If you're hurting the people around you, if you're verbally abusing them, if you're emotionally abusing them, if you're hurting somebody around you, you are hurting the heart of God. You are hurting Jesus Christ Himself. But if you're reaching out and you're serving those people that are in need of God's love, guess what? You're helping Jesus. You're touching Jesus. You are touching the very heart of God, Creator of heaven and earth. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
How many know the great missionary Mother Teresa did a lot of work in the nation of India? I'm going to read one final illustration to you. It's a great illustration. And it says this. These are quotes from Mother Teresa. "The lepers, the dying, the hungry, the ones sick with AIDS, they are all Jesus." One of our novices was aware of this. She had just entered the congregation after finishing her studies at the university. The next day, she was supposed to accompany another sister to help at the home for the dying in Kalighat. "Before they left, I reminded them, 'You know where you have to go. During the Mass, notice how tenderly and lovingly the priest touches the body of Christ. Do not forget that Christ is the same Christ you touch in the poor.' The two sisters left for Kalagat, and 3 hours later they returned. One of them, the novice, knocked on my door. She told me, full of joy, "Mother, I touched the body of Christ for the last 3 hours." Her face reflected her deep joy. "What did you do?" I asked her. Right after we arrived," she answered, "they brought us a man covered with wounds. He had been picked up from the rubble. I had to help take care of his wounds. It took 3 hours. Therefore, I touched the body of Christ for 3 hours. I'm sure it was him." That young novice had understood that Jesus cannot deceive us when he assures us, "I was sick and you took care of me." You might be thinking tonight, well, you know what? I'm in such great need myself. As I've said it before, I'll say it again. There is somebody out there tonight in Tulsa that is in greater need than you. God is going to bring people across your path in the coming days and weeks that are in greater need than you. You got people around here. You're not lonely here. You've got people to talk with here at the shelter. But there's people out there under bridges, sleeping on streets that haven't talked to somebody for days. If God sends you out tomorrow and puts a person across your path, share the love of God with that person. When you touch that person, you're touching Jesus Christ himself. Amen? Hug that person. Spend time and talk with that person. Maybe visit a hospital if you could. Somebody that you know is sick and in the hospital, spend some time with that person. When you spend time with that person, you're spending time with Jesus. You're doing it to Jesus himself. Amen?
Amen.
Loving God. How do you know that you really love God? Is he ruling from the throne of your heart? Number one. And number two, the real test as to whether or not you really love God is how you love other people who God brings across your path. Amen?
Amen.